Public News Service Daily Newscast for February 17, 2020. I'm Mike Clifford. Another 70 cases of the coronavirus infection have been confirmed aboard the Diamond Princess cruise ship, currently quarantined in Japan. That from NPR, they talked with Japanese health officials. There are about 400 U.S. citizens aboard the Diamond Princess, according to Anthony Fauci, who handles infectious diseases for the National Institute. 44 Americans on the cruise ship have been infected, though not all are showing signs of sickness. NPR notes the State Department organized a charter flight, but only those who are not showing symptoms of infection will be allowed to return to the U.S. They will also face 2 weeks of quarantine at military bases in California and in Texas. Meantime, more than half of North Carolina's 100 counties have passed resolutions declaring they are Second Amendment sanctuaries. Nadia Romligon reports for PNS that means they see themselves as exempt from enforcing state gun safety laws.
Winston-Salem resident Susan Browder comes from a family of gun owners and says she was never worried about the presence of guns in homes until her daughter Sarah was killed in 2012. Browder believes Second Amendment sanctuary resolutions could put domestic violence victims at increased risk for gun violence.
Sarah had married an abusive man, and she was in the process of telling him that she was leaving. And as she was fleeing, he raised his gun and he put a bullet through her spine and another through her shoulder. He then shot himself and died immediately of suicide.
Sarah was only 29 when she died. According to the American Journal of Public Health, the presence of a firearm makes it nearly 5 times more likely that a person will be killed by their partner in domestic violence cases. I'm Nadia Romligon.
With the U.S. House and Senate in recess this week, poverty-fighting groups in Ohio are hopeful the state's congressional leaders will hear their calls to save crucial safety net programs.
The White House released its $4.8 trillion executive budget last week. Trump's budget plan would cut temporary assistance for needy families by $20 billion and the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, by $182 billion, both over 10 years. Jory Novotny with the Ohio Association of Food Banks says it would slash funding for multiple programs that help low-income families and seniors meet their basic needs.
Food programs are under attack. Healthcare programs are under attack. Housing programs are under attack. Basic cash assistance programs are under attack. Any funding that helps lift up the most vulnerable families.
The budget proposal also would eliminate the Social Services Block Grant, which states use to fund anti-poverty programs, and would cut federal spending on Medicare by $750 billion over the next decade. Mary Sherman reporting.
This is PNS. This spring, census workers knocking on doors as the 2020 nationwide count rolls out. Many of the jobs still need to be filled, and seniors are being encouraged to help fill the gap.
The U.S. Census Bureau says it hopes to hire 500,000 people to ensure a complete count of residents across the country, but hiring is still lagging in some areas, including Minnesota. Jennifer Beyer is the census lead for AARP. She says these jobs are great for seniors, especially at a time when many are dealing with higher living expenses.
A lot of people over the age of 50 are living on a limited or set income, so this is a great way to get a little bit of extra money.
In Minnesota, the pay range for census takers is between $17 and $24 an hour. According to census hiring data issued this month, nearly 20 Minnesota counties are only at the halfway stage of meeting their recruitment goals. Bureau officials cite a stronger economy when compared to the 2010 count as potential factors for the lag in hiring. Meyer says in addition to earning some extra money, AARP members would be doing a big service to their communities. She says getting enough people to fan out and knock on doors would help to avoid an undercount, which would affect congressional funding.
If we're undercounted here, the funds will go to another state or another community.
Beyer says Congress will use the count as a guide in distributing $675 billion in federal funding. Minnesota officials estimate the state receives more than $15 billion based on census data. Mike Moen, Public News Service.
Finally, Eric Galatis reports Wyoming took a big first step toward blazing a new trail on managing big game migration corridors. That when Governor Mark Gordon signed an executive order last week.
Dan Stanton was the sportsperson's representative on the governor's advisory group on migration and is also a biologist. He says keeping paths open for deer, elk, moose, and other game to travel between summer and winter ranges helps keep herd numbers strong.
Migration corridors are the most critical piece for long-term sustainability of the herds. And anybody that likes to see the wildlife and likes to see them in abundance should pay attention to how this process plays out.
The executive order establishes how corridors are managed, starting with key routes in southwestern Wyoming and how other routes should be designated in the future. All eyes will be on the Cowboy State as the plan is implemented, including the U.S. Bureau of Land Management.
The new Wildlife Crossing Initiative aims to keep the traveling public safe by reducing roadway collisions. Each year, some 6,000 deer, pronghorn, elk, moose, bighorn sheep, and mountain goats are killed in Wyoming's highways and interstates. I'm Mike Clifford. Thanks for starting your week with Public News Service. We are member and listener supported. We're online at publicnewsservice.org.